labor and minorities seeking their rights. And on May 26, 1938, the House Committee on Un-American Activities was established to investigate alleged disloyalty and subversive activities on the part of private citizens, public employees, and those organizations suspected of having communist, socialist, or fascist ties. And this committee worked for 20 years to undermine labor organizing and minorities organizing for their rights. And one of the most famous people to be attacked was Robeson.
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Oh, please, please, please.
Please.
Hey, how's it going? Good. Are you what? I didn't look at it directly, so I'm good. Yeah, are you on air or what's going on? Okay, great. Sounds great.
Looks like we are on the air. Look at that. Tepper on standby with food segment here on the Monday afternoon show. Welcome everyone on this. What's happening today? There's been some things happening in the world. What was it again? Oh yeah, there was a solar eclipse, and we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about chicken in a minute. This is Kieran here with you, your host. We have a lot of songs for you lined up in themed, sun-themed, eclipse-themed, moon-themed, and just randomly themed music. So we're going to start off right here with a Pink Floyd off Dark Side of the Moon, one of my favorite albums. This was from the British tour 1974, Pink Floyd with Eclipse. Enjoy.
Touch and all that you see, all that you taste, all you feel, and all that you love, and all that you hate, all you distrust, all you say, and all that you give, and all that you deal, and all that you buy. And all that you do, and all that you say, and all that you eat, and everyone you meet, and all that you slight, and everyone you fight, and all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything.
There is no dark side in the moon, really. Matter of fact, it's all dark.
There you go. Little Pink Floyd for this rare, somewhat rare eclipse day. We're going to go right to Tepper. What's up, Tepper? Welcome back to the Monday afternoon show. How's it going with you?
Hey, Kieran. I'm good. Yeah, I just went out for a walk during the eclipse.
How was it?
It was nice. Yeah, the lighting was like a little bit different, and I didn't have glasses, but I did see a lot of other folks outside with their glasses on.
Did it get cloudy like right at the full, whatever you call it?
I know. Yeah,
it did.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it did.
I thought that was kind of cool because I'm a reckless human being in some ways, so it allowed me to stare directly into the sun at the middle of the full coverage. What do you call that moment? The full...
The total eclipse?
No, the totality.
The totality.
You were close, which is actually, you were right. It was a total eclipse. Even though we actually just slightly south didn't quite see the totality, but it was the moment of totality. I think that's the term I was looking for.
Got it.
So during the moment of totality, I got to stare directly into this crazy light that reminded me of, like, it was like the Lord of the Rings eye, but not the evil one. It got bright blue right in the center, and the clouds, like, came out of nowhere because I'm sitting watching with the glasses. I had the glasses, and it was, like, going over. And then right at the apex, or the totality, was, I think, 3:18 p.m. or something like that. I couldn't see anything anymore. So I took my glasses off. Smart. Really smart. We could be smart. And I was like, if I squint, maybe I won't go blind. And so I squinted, and then I was like, wow. So just brief little moments of, like, this. We're talking split seconds of, like, this experience of a cloudy moment of totality.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not advisable, but I'm glad you're here to tell the tale.
Yeah. I've stared at the sun before, like, squinting for brief seconds. So, and it did, supposedly it didn't do anything. I don't advise it. It's not a good idea. Don't do it, anyone. But I have done it, like, in the past.
Nice.
I was like, okay, a couple seconds, but yeah, that's the whole thing. I think that's partly why all the hype and people with the safety and stuff, because as human beings, we're just like, I don't know. We don't have, sometimes I feel like the animals are a little bit smarter in some ways,
yeah.
Like they wouldn't do that. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry, Tepper, I'm way off topic because we were speaking of animals that may or may not be smarter. Chickens.
Yeah, exactly.
We were going to talk about chickens. So what do you got going on for us today?
Yeah, so I have chicken part two for you ready to air. Chicken part one. Well, we're talking about food segment. My 10-minute segment about restaurants and places to eat in the Hudson Valley. And yeah, so, you know, last time we talked, we listened to chicken part one. I went to a few different spots and I had some different chicken dishes. And chicken part two is just about one dish that I had at a place called Barnwood Restaurant in Catskill.
Cool. Was there a lot of barn wood in the restaurant?
Yeah, there was.
Because I have a connection to that. I don't have a connection to the restaurant. I don't know the place, but I have a connection to barn wood in general.
Oh.
All right. So should we just launch right into it, or anything else you wanted to say to introduce this amazing epic adventure you did in Catskill?
No, I think it speaks for itself.
Okay, so food segment. This is chicken part two, folks. You heard part one. Hopefully you were listening last time and you heard part one about the chicken escapades. But this is at Barnwood in Catskill, 14 Deer Lane. Here we come. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make a night. You won't remember. I'll be the one.
Hello and welcome to Food Segment on WGXC, where I investigate food places and tell you all about my discoveries. Having produced my most recent food segment, Chicken Part 1,
do you have jerk chicken today?
I set out to continue the research I had started and honed in on a restaurant that has piqued my curiosity. On a recent Monday in late March, I headed to Barnwood Restaurant at 14 Deer Lane in Catskill, New York.
Hi there, how are we doing?
Hi, good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Can I grab you a drink? Just a soda water.
Okay, do you want lemon?
Barnwood, just off of New York 23, is hard to miss. It looks like a huge barn made of wood and draws associations to wooded institutions like Cracker Barrel or a ski lodge. When I arrived a little bit before 5 p.m. on a Monday, the parking lot was more than half full. And I can see a little bit of smoke coming out of the top of it. Through the entrance doors, there is a bar area with high stools for seating and a frozen drinks machine. You won't remember. Past the bar is the host station, where I wait.
Are you picking up or are you wanting to get set?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay just one.
Yeah.
The host led me through the dining room with booths, many of which were occupied with family-type groups of people and older folks. I was led to a back dining room with high tables directly across from the kitchen, which is visible through a large open window where servers put orders in and food comes out.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people here, and the kitchen is very busy.
I had a view of every plate.
There's a little window you can see the chef.
As it was served out of the window and onto a ledge for the servers to retrieve it.
He just put a bunch of onion rings that are speared together on a knife.
At one point, I was transfixed by a plate of onion rings, which were served stacked on top of each other with an upside-down steak knife through the middle. You better move, you better dance. Barnwood has an extensive menu that extends beyond barbecue and fried chicken to include pizzas and an array of appetizers like mozzarella wedges.
There's a sign that says kitchen.
Fried calamari and sweet corn nuggets. I knew what I had come for, so I flipped my menu over and waited expectantly.
And actually, the guys next to me are talking about the entire plot of the movie Poor Things.
The fellows at the table parallel to mine described most of the film Poor Things to each other.
I'm getting a lot of spoilers.
They had both ordered dishes I could not make out, except for sides of French fries, and only one of them needed a to-go container.
Do you have chicken tenders?
Yeah.
I ordered the chicken tenders, which come with a side of fries.
Any dipping sauce?
Ranch, please.
A dipping sauce.
You get fries on the side. You want coleslaw, macaroni salad, or baked beans.
And your choice of either coleslaw, baked beans, or macaroni salad.
Coleslaw.
Sure.
This was a difficult decision, as all three are very important to me personally. But I opted for the coleslaw, reasoning that a vegetable would balance out my meal.
Pretty hungry, actually.
My chicken tenders arrived on a grand platter.
I'm going to describe how amazing this looks.
Brimming with hot, brown, and fried shapes.
One, two, three, four, five. Five tenders.
The tenders were lightly battered in a breading speckled with spices.
The seasoning seems like maybe it's like black pepper, maybe white pepper, and I'm not sure. Maybe a little cayenne.
Their color was a pale golden brown, indicating proper frying technique.
Yeah, like, the crust is pretty crispy.
Some might even prefer their chicken tenders to be crispier, but not me.
It's very, actually, very tender tender.
The French fries distracted me from the tenders.
Pretty, like, thick cut fries that have, like,
because they were also thick, but not overly crispy.
Seasoning on them. It's, like, a little bit spicy.
And dusted in a similarly seductive spice blend that I couldn't quite determine.
Ah. Oh, my God. Oh.
I burned my mouth on the first bite of chicken.
Simultaneously burned the roof of my mouth. I burned my tongue. And I also inhaled some of the breading, which was unexpectedly hot. After I recovered, I proceeded with the tenders.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of curved and...
What's that?
They're about the size of a small...
Which I dipped in a mixture of barbecue sauce and the ranch dressing I had chosen as my dipping sauce.
Zesty ranch. I'm not sure that they make it here, but it's good. It goes well with the barbecue sauce, so I'm kind of mixing them together.
The chicken tenders were plump with meat.
Both the tender and the fries need a little bit of salt.
Some chicken tenders have a tendency to be flat and mostly bready.
A little bit of extra salt in my, that's just my opinion.
The meat of the chicken, which was breast meat, was delicate and not at all dry.
I'm finishing my first tender.
I was willing to believe that they might even have been made in Barnwood's own kitchen. The French fries were similarly thick.
The fries are crispy.
Potato-y.
And a bit fluffy on the inside.
And on the softer side, another preference of mine.
And generally, there's just sort of a jovial ambiance about this place. Gonna try the coleslaw now.
I added many shakes of salt to everything.
Also need salt.
How's everything?
So good. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Including the coleslaw.
How's like a mayo and vinegar dressing? It has white green cabbage and carrots. And could use a little hot sauce or something, but generally, you know, it's nice. Pretty like... what you'd expect from a coleslaw,
which was reassuringly formulaic.
I'm gonna have another chicken tender. So yeah, they're all kind of a little bit like curvy and crispy with irregular breading patterns, suggesting that they've been maybe dipped in a kind of a like dipped in a batter is what I'm trying to say before getting fried. I kind of think that they make them here. I don't know though. I can ask.
I asked my server for the source of the chicken tenders.
Do you guys make these here?
Yes.
They're so good.
Aren't they good?
Yeah,
we do. It's the same breading that's on our chicken, and we just cut tenders. Swing your body round and round, and then the night is
going down. One more shot, another round, and then the night. Those outside of the chicken tender community might not understand the significance of this.
The chicken meat, it's white and kind of...
But for people like me...
I like dipping it in the barbecue, ranch, and ketchup.
It means a lot. Thank you for listening to this edition of Food Segment on WGXC.
There you go, folks. Another edition of Food Segment. Amazing stuff right there. Chicken tenders coming your way. We got Tepper still on the line right here with us. Tepper, thank you for that segment.
Oh, it's my great pleasure to do it.
It's good stuff. It's just obscure stuff sometimes you pick up in these things, and there was one guy with a very distinct laugh in the background.
Yeah.
It's great. He was having a great time.
Yeah, I was sitting next to two guys who were very engaged in their conversation.
Yeah. Were they engaged with chicken tenders too?
I couldn't see what they ordered. The thing about Barnwood is that, like, it's a barbecue spot. but they have like a huge menu, and I guess it's kind of like a barbecue slash fried chicken place. But their menu is like really big. So they also have stuff like pizza. They have like pizza and all sorts of like appetizers. I think they have like salads and stuff like that. So you can order, like, I couldn't see what they were eating, but it could have been anything, if you know what I mean.
Just about anything. Who knows? Frog's legs. But whatever it was, they were having a great time. But it sounded like you enjoyed too. Very descriptive. I love your diving into the coleslaw. I'm a kind of a coleslaw connoisseur myself.
Oh yeah.
Not into the mushy stuff. But also not, can't be too raw and crispy. So it's got to be that sweet spot. Coleslaw.
I think you would have liked the one that they have there.
It sounded like it for the way you described, and I appreciate your descriptions. What next? I had tater tots yesterday for the first time in years.
Where'd you have this?
In Housatonic, Mass. Our local pub just reopened. They're awesome. They're showing soccer games and all sorts of sports and having pub food, and it's really cool stuff. But yeah, don't rule out, you know, some maybe side investigation on tater tots if you can find them.
Yeah, it's not easy to find, but I would definitely do a little digging.
Yep. And maybe we'll get you over here in Berkshire County, Tepper. We could go down to the pub. We could see how they're doing down there. So to be continued. You got some stuff up your sleeve, do ya?
I don't know what to do next. Do you have any ideas?
Oh, so many. So many. I also had a hot dog today in Pittsfield.
In Pittsfield?
I was told that this is the best hot dog in the region.
Why is that?
And I always thought that the best hot dogs were at the Hot Dog Ranch in Pittsfield.
Okay.
Because it's the Hot Dog Ranch.
Got it.
However, everyone I talk to who's familiar with Pittsfield hot dogs says that, nope, it's Tio's. Tio's hot dogs. And so I had to go get a bunch of fasteners and drill bits today. And, you know, the tool place is right next to Tio's hot dogs. And I went, and that was a whole story. You could have done a great segment on that. It's like bar stools. The whole bar was packed at like 12:15 today.
Wow.
The beer was flowing. And so I didn't know what to order. I just was like, oh my God. They're like, next, who's up to go? Ah! I was just like, okay, one hot dog to go. That's it. Yeah. One hot dog, just plain. Plain. Okay. No, with ketchup on it. Okay. One hot dog, ketchup, $1.80. Okay. So it came out 37 seconds later and I left, got back in the truck, and it was very, sorry, that's my dog. He doesn't like when we talk about hot dogs for some reason.
Yeah, or he might like it a little too much.
Yeah, no, he was licking my hand for the rest of the ride home. So it was very small, but so good. So good.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like hot dogs. I mean, the thing about hot dogs is that it's a little hard to like find a lot of variation from place to place. And have you ever been to Pete's famous hot dogs in Newburgh?
No, I haven't really been to Newburgh, I don't think, ever.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
It's not super close, but yeah, there's like a, it's like, I think, almost 100 years old.
Okay.
There's a hot dog place.
Pete's. So, you know, I mean, hot dogs, that's just one random thing to think about. But I'm sure you have plenty of, we're so blessed in Columbia, Greene County, and in South Berkshire County, just all around, to have some pretty neat little food establishments to do more investigative reporting.
Yeah, we really are blessed.
Yeah, and I appreciate your show so much. Food segment with Tepper, folks. If you're just tuning in, hopefully you caught that Barnwood chicken. It's on my list now. I think I'm going to go down there when I go down. I'm hopefully going to help bring my truck and help WGXC moved their studio to Catskill.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that really happening? I think it's really happening. I think I'm allowed to talk about it. Yeah, if and when I do that, which is April something, 14th or whatever, I will stop at the Barnwood and get some chicken tenders or something.
Oh, you definitely should. Yeah, it seems like it's good for groups, too, if you're with other people.
Okay. All right. Well, great chatting, Tepper.
Thanks for having me again. I'll see you next month.
Always a pleasure. And I'm going to go out. What should it be? Black Hole Sun, Nature Films, Moon is Warmer, or Paul Robeson, Go Down Moses.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, sure.
Go Down Moses.
Okay, so it's Paul Robeson's birthday today. He was born in 1898, and he was kind of a real badass activist, like, individual. And he was actually tried under the HUAC committee in the 1950s during the witch hunts. It was called the House Un-American Activities Committee by Senator Joe McCarthy, where they were going after all the communists, alleged. Right. I'm going to play a tiny little excerpt of that first, and then play Paul Robeson, who was an unbelievable singer as well. Great choice, Tepper. Thank you, and happy birthday, Paul Robeson. And we'll catch you next time around with Food Segment, Tepper.
All right. See ya. Thank you, Kieran.
Okay, take Bye-bye. Care. All right. Here's Paul Robeson in front of the HUAC. It just sounds like somebody, like, hurling something up when you say HUAC. House Un-American Activities Committee, interviewing Paul Robeson, June 12th, 1956. Let's see how this goes.
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Oh, please, please, please.
Please answer, will you, Mr. Robeson?
What is the Communist Party? What do you mean by that?
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Would you like
Party?
To come to the ballot box when I vote and take out the ballot and see?
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question.
You are directed to answer the question.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment and forget it.
I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question whether, if he gave us a truthful answer, he would be supplying information which might be used against him in a criminal proceeding.
You are directed to answer,
Gentlemen,
Mr. Robeson.
In the first place, wherever I've been in the world, the first to die in the struggle against fascism were the communists. I laid many wreaths upon the graves of communists. That is not criminal. Chief Justice Warren has been very clear that the Fifth Amendment does not have anything to do with the inference of criminality, and I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Have you ever been known under the name of John Thomas?
Oh, please, does somebody here want me to put up a cursory someplace? John Thomas, my name is Paul Robeson, and anything I have to say, I have said in public.
When Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go.
People
with Egypt's spoil. Let my people go.
Deny the fact that your Communist Party name was John Thomas.
The Fifth Amendment. This is really ridiculous.
The witness talks very loud when he makes a speech, but when he invokes the Fifth Amendment, I can't hear him.
I have medals for diction. Right. I can talk plenty loud.
Will you talk a little louder?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment loudly.
Sir, who are Mr. and Mrs. Vladimir
Nikiev? I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Manning Johnson?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know Gregory Kifetz?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Max Juergen?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Max Juergen.
Why don't you have these people here to be cross-examined? Could I ask whether this is legal?
This is not only legal, but usual. By unanimous vote, this committee has been instructed to perform this very distasteful task.
To whom am I talking?
You're speaking to the chairman of the committee.
Mr. Walter?
Yes.
The Pennsylvania Walter?
That is right.
Representative of the steel workers?
That is right.
And the coal mining workers?
That is right.
Not United States Steel, by any chance. A great patriot.
That is right.
You are the author of the bills that are going to keep all kinds of decent people out of the country.
No, only your kind.
Colored people like myself. And you would let in the Teutonic Anglo-Saxon stock.
We are trying to make it easier to get rid of your kind, too.
You don't want any colored people to come in. Could I be allowed to read from my statement?
Will you just tell this committee, please, while under oath, Mr. Robeson, the communists who participated in the preparation of that statement?
Oh, please. The reason I'm here today, from the mouth of the State Department itself, is I should not be allowed to travel because I have struggled for the independence of the colonial peoples of Africa. The other reason I'm here today, again, from the State Department and from the record of the Court of Appeals, is that when I am abroad, I speak out against injustices against the Negro people in this land. That is why I'm here. I'm not being tried for whether I'm a communist. I'm being tried for fighting for the rights of my people, who are still second-class citizens in this country, in this United States of America. My mother was born in your state, and my mother was a Quaker. My ancestors, in the time of Washington, baked bread for George Washington's troops when they crossed the Delaware. My father was a slave. I stand here struggling for the rights of my people to be full citizens in this country, and we are not. We are not in Mississippi. They're not in Montgomery, Alabama. They're not in Washington. They are nowhere. And that is why I'm here today. You want to shut up every Negro who has the courage to stand up and fight for the rights of his people, for the rights of workers. And I have been on many a picket line for the steel workers, too. And that is why I'm here today.
Would you tell us whether or not you know Thomas W. Young?
In my eyes, indisposed, in disguise, as no one knows, hides the face, lies the snake, the sun in my disgrace, boiling heat, some stench, neath the black, the sky looks dead, call my name through the cream, and I'll hear you scream. Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away in rain? Black hole sun, won't you come, won't you come, won't you come? Stuttering, cold and damp, steal the warm. Gone for honest men, and sometimes far too low for snakes. In my shoes, walk and sleep. In my youth, I pray to keep heaven send hell away. No one sings like you anymore. Black hole, sir, won't you come? Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole sun, won't you come, won't you come? Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole sun,
coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Thank you.
abetting a genocide. The United States is abetting a genocide. I should not have to say anything past this. There is no greater threat to this world, no greater crime. I know this inherently as a Jewish member of this city. I am no longer able to say this eloquently or diplomatically. The United States has provided the bombs that split a relative, a friend of one of Alexandria's citizens in two, split her limbs from her body. The United States has sent the bullets that were shot by snipers into children's heads. The United States has nearly 3 million of Alexandria's tax dollars paid for the drones that were used to kill family members of Alexandrians. We provided the white phosphorus to pollute my holy land like we tainted Vietnam with Agent Orange. That we have provided the essential political cover to prolong this genocide. Three times now, the U.S. has been the sole country to veto ceasefire resolutions at the United Nations. Israel's army may be the one executing it over there, as you guys keep saying, but it has only been made possible by our government. Our government just down the river that we can look and see. Our government's diligent support. Not even a century ago, a nation's people ignored its genocide, all the while believing they were good and rational people. I have visited a concentration camp. The very first thing my guide told me was that everyone in the surrounding towns knew, that she said they could smell it. You can see it, hear it. But to you, your political career matters more. We see right through you. It's not that you don't care. It's that you are scared of opposing the Democratic Party in such a liberal city. Unless you introduce and pass the ceasefire resolution, your cowardice will only be your legacy. Nothing you do during your tenure, no piece of legislation, no projects will ever matter if you cannot do this one simple thing. You will only be remembered as the monsters who looked away and allowed it to continue.
Sun, I say it's all right.
shot down in the street and died. From a stray bullet. From a stray bullet. From a stray woman pulled her head and cried. Explaining to her was a passerby. Passing by, saw the woman cry.
looks like we are back to the Monday afternoon show, folks. Welcome back. Total eclipse happening in our region. People flocking to the northern areas of upstate New York and Vermont, where total darkness ensued as the moment of totality took place. Here in Housatonic, moment of totality was maybe not so dramatic, but it was pretty amazing. It's quite a special event, actually. We'd love to talk more about it, which we will. But I'd love to give a big shout out to the Beatles with "Here Comes the Sun." Was just played at the end there, and then Donovan Riley with his track Donnie from the Poster. You can look him up. Look up Donnie from the Poster, all one word, on YouTube, SoundCloud. And he's been putting out albums and great stuff. Sent me this cover of a Bob Marley tune called Johnny Was. So that was last song of that set, last track. Jenna Bell, yes, with Black Hole Sun, covering Soundgarden. Black Hole Sun, as you may have noticed, there's a sun theme going on here. We definitely heard Pink Floyd at the beginning before Tepper with Food Segment with Eclipse. Who am I missing? Bob Marley with Sun Is Shining. Okay, should we go for this and answer the phone and see who it is? Oh, this would be awful. We'll just see. Hold on. Stand by. Hello? Or we'll go to a song.
Song the sun goes, that's the sound of sunshine. Yourself some cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I spied a little thing and I followed her all night in a funky fine Levi's and her sweater's kinda tight. She had a West Coast strut that was sweet as molasses. But what really knocked me out was the cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh
Away, but I know, Lord, that it's be sorry, baby. Yeah, for what you've done. Yeah, Lord, and I'll be far away, having so much fun. Cause I know, that the sun gonna shine again. Well done.
I know there is always tomorrow. There are no guarantees. Life is always a hit or a miss. But I truly believe I won't always be feeling like this. I'm gonna shine like the sun when these clouds roll away from my door. When it's all said and done, I won't be at your mercy no more. Thinking here lately what all I could do to improve. Though I've suffered greatly, I know just what I have to do. I have to move forward, cut losses, break loose, and move on. And I have to swim shoreward, lest I should drown out here alone.
Dolly Parton right there, folks. Shine like the sun. On this solar eclipse day.
You'd never suspect the things you can't get back. I saw you dreaming, I saw you sleeping in the sun. The earth moved, but you didn't get up. To the movie, when I came out, it was night. The the sunset while I was inside, but I didn't see. I was just dreaming. The earth moved, but I didn't wake up.
Out of the lake house at the end of May, drove up to Burlington and I was getting late. I went through a traffic stop in Cambridge, New York. Long hair, pink pants and a France t-shirt, 12 cops around me, I must have looked like dessert, cause every one of them cops was drooling. Bags on the scenic route, tie 'em up, throw 'em in the boot. Go about your business and forget about it.
Mama, Target Circle Week is here, with thousands of deals for Target Circle members. And now a big deal.
Wanikta chale chamo elo hey hey aya ho hey aya ho hey aya hey hey aya ho hey aya ho hey aya ho hey 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 ho hey ho hey aya hey hey aya ho hey aya ho hey aya hey aya ho hey aya ho hey aya Wakata kao shema lae Wanikta cha le cha mo we lo e Hey aya ho hey aya ho hey a Hey aya ho hey aya ho hey aya ho e
That was Sundance Piercing Song is what that's called right there. Released by Los Encantanos 1 year ago on my birthday, March 20th, 2023, in honor of the Lakota people and their sacred Sundance that they do. Here we are on the solar eclipse day. The ancient native peoples of this land celebrated rhythms of the earth and the skies and astronomy long, long before the contact of our white Caucasian settler immigrant brethren came here. And that's just tiny little snippet there for you, some Native American music on this solar eclipse day. The Sundance is a pretty incredible tradition in the Lakota tribes, and I think they do it in elsewhere too. I think the Apache, maybe other tribes do it as well. This is a real American history, like ancient American history, that we weren't taught. So forgive my ignorance on the matter. We heard Lady Moon and the Eclipse coming out of Hudson, New York. That was called Stargazing. Great track there from Lady Moon and the Eclipse. They had a show, I think, at the Hudson Opera House. Sorry, the... what's the Hudson Opera House called now? Shoot. Great spot down there on Warren Street. Good folks. We heard Jennifer Warnes, a rare track there. But also we heard Ray Charles... The Sun's Gonna Shine Again. Good old Ray Charles. It's going back to 1956. The Sun's Gonna Shine Again, and it will. Have no fear. You might have been worried for a minute there as things got a little dark. Dolly Parton sang Shine Like the Sun. A good track there from good old Dolly Parton. And Jennifer Warnes, yes, so she did her 1969 bit. That was from the musical Hair, the Broadway musical Hair from 1969. Let the Sun Shine In from Jennifer Warnes, not so known track by her. Oh, and I forgot, just a couple ago it was Parov Stelar. Parov Stelar with The Sun, featuring Graham Candy. Good stuff happening right there. Feeling kind of good on this Monday afternoon. Kieran here with you. Running out of time. Got a couple of announcements, birthdays, death days coming up. But we are feeling good on this solar eclipse. Energetically charged atmosphere. Beautiful stuff happening in the heavens, as always. And we should try to follow suit. Okay, anyway, I'll stop right there and play some Nina Simone because I'm feeling kind of good. And I hope you are too. Happy Monday afternoon. Thanks for listening.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new
She is feeling good. That is Nina Simone feeling good right there on Monday Afternoon Show. Thank you again for listening. Let's see. We got some birthdays. It is Siddhartha Gautama. Does anyone know that one? Let's hope so. Siddhartha Gautama, Gautama Buddha, born on this day in 563 BC, the Enlightened One. Big shout out to all the Buddhists out there, particularly shout out to the Peace Pagodas, to the Nipponzo Myoji, good folks. Jun-san up there in Grafton, at the Grafton Peace Pagoda. It's another festival around this time. I don't know if it's today or movable, but it's the Flower Festival in Japan. Also called Hanamatsui, beautiful flower festival. We'll have the pleasure and honor of being able to go up there to the Grafton Peace Pagoda to celebrate in a small ceremony there in honor of those of us who walked the peace walk for a ceasefire. That was to walk from Troy to Albany around March 17th, 16th, 18th. To honor the steps of the length of Gaza Strip. So Jun-san, the nun at Grafton Peace Pagoda, organized this march. Great turnout. So happy Flower Festival to all those who are celebrating. Paul Robeson, as we said, was born in 1898, the actor, singer, black liberation fighter, standing up to the man in the HUAC, House Un-American Activities Committee hearing in 1956 against those fascist, American politicians who are trying to go after all the communists in America, allegedly. Barbara Kingsolver was born on this day, 1955, right during that time. She was a writer. She is a writer, author. Kofi Annan, the General Secretary of the United Nations during which wars was it? I think it was the Iraq War. Boy, he was the UN Secretary General, born in 1938 on this day. Kofi. Happy birthday, Kofi. It's Cuckoo Day, the hearing of the first cuckoo, which is the call of spring. Did you hear the call of spring today? It was very warm. I was out there in the sunshine. Hope you were, too. Some beautiful sun shining in. We played a lot of sun songs today. Boy, there's lots of sun songs to play. We should do that every week on the Monday Afternoon Show, play some sunshines. And speaking of, Mary Pickford was born in 1893. She was an actress in Coquette and Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. Happy birthday, Mary Pickford. We have in 1712, on this day in history, enslaved people revolted in New York City. 1712, that's back in the day, back in the day. People always think there weren't slavery in New York City or New York. For some reason, it seems like this narrative, like, oh, wait, there were slaves in New York, but we're so blah, blah, blah. Nope. There sure were. 1712 was a big revolt on this day in history. Sonia Henie, born in 1912. She was an ice skater. The jazz singer Carmen McRae was born on this day in 1922. And more sunshine-themed information. Monty Sunshine was born in 1928. Monty Sunshine, the jazz musician. Rocking out with jazz. Cy Hirsch, born in 1937. Seymour Hirsch, exposing all kinds of shenanigans in the American empire. Investigative reporter, born, still at it, still going strong. Cy Hirsch uncovering things to this day. Born in 1937. Happy birthday, Cy Hirsch. Vivienne Westwood, the fashion designer, born 1941. And let's see, we got any other birthdays, death days, anything to share? Julian Lennon, musician, son of John Lennon, was born on this day in 1963. Happy birthday to Julian Lennon. And I think that should probably do it for birthdays right now. More history on this day. The Earth Liberation Front in 2003, right in the start of the Iraq War Part 2, the ELF spray paints anti-war messages on 66 SUVs in Santa Cruz, California. That's just darn right terrorism right there, spray painting SUVs in California. That could definitely be terrorism. And speaking of terrorism, 1952, Harry Truman orders the United States Army to seize the national steel mills to crush a strike. This action of using the U.S. Army to crush a strike in a steel mill was ruled illegal by some court system. Maybe the, what do they call it, the SCOTUS? SCOTUS just seems so vulgar to me. The word just, I don't know, SCOTUS, it rhymes with something. I don't know. Anyway, in 1911, the Banner Mine, speaking of miners, in Alabama, We weren't speaking of miners, but still, we're speaking of miners. Now, in Alabama, explodes, big explosion in the Banner Mine, 1911, killing 128 state prisoners who were leased out to Pratt Consolidated Coal Company. Yep, state prisoners leased out to a private coal company. And this segues right into the next item on this day in history. In 1864, the 13th Amendment passes, abolishing slavery in the United States right after the Civil War. Except, let's big, giant parentheses, except for in the punishment for a crime, basically legalizing slavery in the prison system, or leasing out state prisoners in Alabama in 1911, killing 128 of them for the coal company. Yeah. Benito Mussolini said that one of the highest ideals of fascism would be the consolidation of the economic realm and the corporate sphere with the state, so that they would work hand in hand together. It's just one tenet of fascism. Speaking of fascism, there's a form of fascist apartheid growing. We're going to end right now with a little excerpt. Sorry we're out of time, but here's John Mersheimer on Israel. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Monday Afternoon Show. This is Kieran here, your host, signing off. Hope to catch you next week. Rock on, Community Radio. See what happens.
Important to understand that what's going on here is that Israel, as a result of the 1967 war, has effectively created a greater Israel. And greater Israel includes the borders of Israel in 1967, plus East Jerusalem, plus the West Bank, plus Gaza. That's greater Israel. And inside of greater Israel, you have roughly 7.3 million Palestinians and roughly 7.3 million Israeli Jews. Okay? So just think about what's going on here. You have this big piece of territory, Greater Israel, that has roughly an equal number of Palestinians and Jews. And moving forward, it looks like the number of Palestinians will be greater than the number of Jews. That means that you cannot have a democratic Greater Israel where you have one person, one vote, because it will no longer be a Jewish state. It will end up being a Palestinian state. So democracy is off the table. With regard to a two-state solution where the Israeli Jews get pre-1967 Israel and the Palestinians get East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza, the Israelis are unwilling to accept that, period, end of story. They are unwilling to accept that, and given the power of the lobby, the United States is not going to force them to accept that, and certainly no other country is. Right. So the two-state solution is off the table. A one-state solution where you have a democracy is off the table. That leaves two other options. One is an apartheid state, which is where the Israeli Jews treat the Palestinians as second, if not third class citizens. And this is what you have now. Israel is an apartheid state. Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and B'Tselem, which is the largest human rights group inside of Israel, have all written lengthy reports that make the case, persuasively, I would argue, that Israel is an apartheid state. And in fact, there are Israeli leaders who use exactly that rhetoric. Many Israelis understand that Israel has become an apartheid state. It's hard to avoid that when you have 7.3 million Palestinians and 7.3 million Israeli Jews. So you have an apartheid state. The final option is ethnic cleansing. And you solve the apartheid state problem by cleansing Gaza and cleansing the West Bank. And then you have a greater Israel that is filled with Israeli Jews and where there are 20% or less Palestinians.
Is this what Zionism was supposed to be like? Or you think the Zionist ideology has evolved over the last few decades.
Zionism from the get-go was all about creating a Jewish state.
But not to the extent of being genocidal or cleansing.
The Zionist understood from the very beginning that you had to cleanse. There's no way Jews or Zionists moving out of Europe can come into an area that's filled with Palestinians and create a Jewish state without cleansing the area. They understood that from the beginning. This is very clear from the historical record. The Zionists who came out of Europe and, you know, laid the foundation for what is Israel today were very smart people. I mean, they were very smart, very clever. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they understood that they would have to do horrible things to the Palestinians in order to create a Jewish state. It was just inevitable. There's no way you could create a Jewish state otherwise.
I want to switch to China.